You are listening to Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.
Good morning. My name is Chad, pastor here on staff, and today I get to share with you guys a little bit what the Lord put on my heart. And I have to be honest with you, this week has been a bit of a labor, and I call it a labor of love, because my brain has been scattered in seven different directions. You ever feel that way? We have a lot of things, and you just don't know which one to grab. Thankfully, the Lord is gracious. Thankfully that I figured out a long time ago, it's not about necessarily the words that I say, but it's about the presence of God that goes before me, that begins to capture any words that I say today and drives them deep into your heart. So did I prepare? I prepared some stuff today. But I'm also thankful that the presence of the Lord is speaking to people. And today he's going to speak to you. I believe that he wants to encounter us in a very deep way, and I think he's already started to do that. And I want to let you know, like, preaching, you know, I've realized that it's not just me speaking or putting a nice speech together for you. It's actually a proclamation to the unseen world. And so there's principalities that I'm preaching to you this morning as well, declaring God's word. It's a little bit of a heavier thing than, thus for all you who desire to preach, know there's a cost that comes with it. But don't worry, if a demon manifests, we have Stacy the bounty hunter here in the front row. He'll take care of him. We believe in deliverance here. So I'm thankful that he's here. One thing I want to make clear today as I speak is what the Lord is saying. And so I believe the Lord is saying this, that he wants us to trust him more. He wants us to trust him. And today, if you're struggling to trust him with an area in your life, it's no coincidence that you're here this morning. Because the Lord is beckoning us to lay things down, to show him, to show ourselves that we can trust him. And if there's a lack of trust, what ends up happening, we begin to blame his character or his will. But it's really what we need to do is look back towards us and examine our faith. There is no currency higher in the kingdom of God than faith. Hebrews says this, that if you would want to live a life that pleases God, you have to have faith. And what is faith? Faith is trusting God. And it's so important. And part of this trusting is an encounter that we have with the Lord. Encounter is a crucial part to trust. You guys know that, right? When we actually encounter Jesus, we begin to experience, we just don't get to have knowledge of who he is, but we get to experience who he is, and that gives us the confidence to trust him more. And I could say this, like, we believe in an omniscient God, a God that knows all, right? And there is a doctrine that we have that we know, God, you know everything, but it's something different when you begin to feel like you've been seen by God, where he begins to speak to you in a way of like, wow, you know that about me, God? And there's something deep that's driven into our hearts. It's deeper than intellectual doctrine can ever go. And I believe you'll never really trust God unless you've been convinced in your inner being that God sees you. And these counters are the things that lead us to the rebirth, our salvation, the things that that we receive from the Lord is these encounters that start with the encounters that we have with the Lord. And I want to talk a little bit about, because once we have these encounters and we make this commitment, a structure is set up inside of us. And this structure is called faith. And faith is the structure in which trust flows. And I would like to say this, sometimes, if not often, this structure that we have set up can actually leak, right? Have you ever had faith in the Lord, but then there's some situations you come into and I'm like, man, maybe I don't trust him as much as I thought I did. Or maybe you start having some things pop up in your life and you're experiencing anxiety or something like that, the pressure of it being on your shoulder, and then you begin to realize, man, there might be a leak somewhere. And to be truth, all of our systems leak. And you know they're leaking when you experience the opposite of trust. What's the opposite of trust? You begin to have suspicion, right? Suspicion about, is God really good? Did God really want that for my life? And you'll begin to experience some of the things that I mentioned before. You'll have stress and anxiety. You'll have this feeling of having to control it all. If I'm describing those things, you're like, oh man, I've experienced, you have a leak. And just like everyone, we all have leaks within the system because it's a high pressure system. There's actually things that are trying to destroy our faith so that we don't trust God. In 2 Corinthians 13:55, it says this: examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. And do you not realize that you're in Jesus Christ unless he's not in you? And so there is this examining that needs to take place and to examine often. And I want to talk a little bit about kind of the, lay some groundwork here about the formation of faith, right? Like kind of how it's formed within us. And I'll say this at the very beginning. There's these concepts in Scripture that talk about something that is being done right away, there's a concept where things can be three things at once or multiple things at once. So for instance, it could be done, it could be happening, and it could be still not done. And I'll explain it like this. The term salvation throughout Scripture, and this is part of a doctrinal thought process and our kind of a doctrine that's set up, is that salvation isn't just like this one-time justification. So there's three words within this. I'm going to get a little brainy on you here, guys, but it's coming to a point, I promise. That salvation is not just justification. You know, justification is something that happens right away. We give our life to the Lord. We make the commitment in our heart. And what happens is that we're justified before the Lord. He sees us as clean and righteous before him. But there's this process also that's attached to that salvation. It's called sanctification. It's the process of coming into salvation. And then the last one is glorification. There's actually a day where this salvation in our life is going to be complete, but that's not until we pass through the veil of death and come into completion with the Lord. When he raises the new heaven up, or the new earth up, he renews it, he restores our body, and then finally we'll be glorified. The glorified human being because of the salvation of the Lord. So salvation shows us that it's done. It's being finished. It's being in process. And then one day it's going to be complete. This even reflects within the makeup of who God has put us. I go back to, here's another three-piece thing for you, okay? And so we have our body, our soul, and our spirit. And you'll see kind of how the salvation process works out. When we accept the Lord, automatically, you know what happens? Our spirit, the thing that has been broken between us and God, the connection that we have, it's been broken because of rebellion. When we give our lives to the Lord, we have those encounters, say, Jesus, I want to follow you. It says this in John 3, that there's actually a rebirth that happens. This spirit inside of us that has been broken has now been regenerated with the Holy Spirit. And now the connection that was once broken between us and God is now reconciled. Beautiful, right? But there's two other parts of who we are. There's the soul realm that's made up of our mind, will, and emotions, and then, of course, our physical body. And so what happens is this salvation has come upon us. It has renewed us and regenerated our spirit, but who knows, there's still some broken things in your soul. That's why we can come here, praise God, and say, God, you're so worthy. And we leave here and we find that in our minds, man, I shouldn't be thinking that way. You guys still with me? And so there's this concept of things being done, they're happening, and they will happen. So when I talk about this structure of faith, know that it's a structure that's set up, but it's also being renewed within us, and one day it'll be complete. And so when I think about it, I wanted to give you the nuance of some of it so we don't get lost within this. And I personally think that when it comes to faith in Christianity, we have a definition problem. And so I'm going to give you a clear definition of what I think biblical faith looks like. You guys ready for that? It's an allegiance of the heart that leads to unwavering trust. And the reason why I say heart is because the mind does play into this whole process, but it's so important to get the order correct. But in, you know, the English language, we've attached to faith this concept or this word called believe. You guys heard that before, right? But in America, we've actually set this word believe has become an intellectual thing, and it hasn't become an action thing, which isn't the fullness of the word belief at all. But there's a thing where we get caught up into the intellectual aspect of faith, and then we miss some of it. And to be honest, we're kind of obsessed, even in church, about the development of the mind. Oh, they got to know the things. They got to know the how-tos. The problem is that's an incomplete picture, and it can be very dangerous if you get it out of order. Because sometimes faith things don't always add up correctly. They don't break even. And so if we have this obsession with the mind, we begin to process, right? Okay, 1 + 1 is supposed to equal 2. And then for some reason, you're adding these things up. God, why isn't this equaling 2? It doesn't make intellectual sense to me. And that's how so many people have shipwrecked their faith. And the faith, the allegiance is in the heart is saying, man, I don't understand why this math isn't working, but I know the mathematician and I trust him. There may be something I don't see. And so the allegiance says, hey, I'm here. I'm in the ship, and it feels like it's going down. But I'm in it, and I'm committed. Now, I love the picture in Scripture. It's actually a picture of soldiers standing before the king and just giving their allegiance. Whatever you say, king, we'll go do. And so I want to bring this up because there's two important parts, right? Because biblical faith doesn't neglect the mind. It's just you have to get the order right. It has to be an allegiance. I don't understand it all, God, but I've experienced your character and I trust you. And then that resolve in the heart, what it's supposed to do is it's supposed to begin to permeate the rest of your being. And so then we talk about, my wife brought up today in Romans chapter 12 about the renewal of the mind. And the renewal of the mind only strengthens your faith. And it's so important as well. And so here we go with the continuing kind of the heart thing, you know, in Ezekiel. And I'm not just talking about a normal heart. I'm talking about a transformed heart. So before I talk about the heart and mind, you guys know that the regenerative thing needs to happen, right? We need to commit our lives. When we commit our lives, he actually now begins to give us a rebirth, right? Salvation. And then what happens is now in our hearts, right? That's where it lives, this commitment, this allegiance in our heart. And then we begin to bring the other aspects that are key to faith, which is our mind. Ezekiel talks about this. Ezekiel, I believe it's in the 30 chapter somewhere. You guys can Google it sometime. But it says this. It says that you have a heart of stone, but I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. Hebrews also talks about this, where it talks about, I'm going to take my word and I'm going to inscribe it onto your heart. You have to have this new heart. And God is actually, you know, when I think of heart versus mind, I think of the book of Job. You guys read the book of Job? Man, it's a terrible book, but this guy gets his whole life destroyed. And most of the book is him and his friends sitting around like, dude, why isn't the math, you must have did something. God is upset at you somehow, and he's getting all this advice. They're trying to figure this out. And then Job says this beautiful saying that most people have been in church. No, he says, even though he slay me, I will yet trust him. What a beautiful picture of what it means to have faith, have allegiance to God, that I don't know why everything's breaking, God. Are you cursing me? I'm not sure. But besides the point, I trust you and I'm gonna worship you. John chapter 11, I love this. We're in our group, we're going through it. John chapter 11, we see the process of faith. This is a very famous passage where Jesus brings his friend Lazarus from the dead. But the details talk about Jesus. He's out there ministering, And he hears that his friend Lazarus is sick. And then he's like, don't worry, this isn't going to end in death. He waits two more days ministering to other people. He comes back 4 days later to the funeral of his friend, and this dude's dead. What? One plus one doesn't equal two. God, I thought you said this wasn't ending in death. But the beautiful thing is, we begin to see the brokenness surrounding that situation. And Martha, one of Lazarus' sisters, runs to Jesus as he's coming. He says, yeah, he's dead. You're late. Both the sisters seem a little upset because they say this, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. But Martha has a beautiful reply in verse 21. She says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Wow, the math isn't adding up, God. But even now, I believe, I trust you. And that's what happens when we begin to have a resolve in our hearts, an allegiance in our heart. But I have to also say, we have to have a renewed mind to go with it, because we can become really weird and distorted if it's only a heart attachment. You can get so ignorant in your faith, right, that you trust God, but then you begin to spew things and it gets really weird, and then actually you hurt other people because you have no attachment of the intellect, right? You haven't let this heart thing, this allegiance in your heart permeate the rest of you, and so you're not even fully complete. You have the thing in your heart, but you didn't let that bloom. You didn't let that grow within you. And so James chapter 1, it says, but when you ask, so this is verse 6, but when you ask, you must what? Believe. Pistis is the word faith, and not doubt. Where does doubt come from? Right? Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. The person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded, and they don't understand in anything that they do. And so we see that our faith needs to be connected to what? A mind that is being renewed. So that what? We don't get tossed over the place. If we're only heart people, we'll end up being really confused. A heart needs to be grounded in truth. So I wrote this little thing because I want to explain it well. It says, a heart without a mind, you'll be faithful, but you may turn into a zealous weirdo that scares people away. You guys know some of those? If you don't, you're the person. A mind without a heart, and you'll become a judgmental Pharisee. But a person who is devoted within their heart and has a formed mind becomes what? A useful tool in the kingdom of God. And we have to become useful tools. Can we just say that? God, I want to be useful. I want to be useful. I'm going to let the allegiance in my heart permeate everything else, every other part of me. But like I said, once the structure is up, it's so important to get the structure up. It's so important to have the allegiance in the heart and begin to have the renewed mind. But also on that, we have to check for leaks along the way. And so I have an examination here that I'm going to give you guys. And so I love to ask questions. I think questions are kind of the breath of conversation. It's the breath of examination. And so I'm going to talk about a few questions. I'm going to give you four questions to ask yourself. You guys still in this with me? It says, number one is this, I am connected to the right things. And it's so simple, man. I'm giving you guys simple truth here, but I hope they smack you right in the spirit. It's spending time with him. You can't replace the lack of time with good works. Listen, every good thing, every good promise that we have is in Christ. When we talk about righteousness and purity and all these promises, they're not things that we've earned or somehow have learned to live in. It's an exchange. And the only way that exchange happens is Scripture talks about if we are in Christ. And so us being in him, there's a thing that happens. We give him all of our nasty, and he gives us all of his holiness and righteousness. And we can't mix that up. And we can't forget about the key part that connects us, which is what? Being in him. Well, what does that mean, Chad? What does it mean to be in Christ? And is there a cost that's attached to it? There's a big cost attached to it. But the cost isn't moral work, or isn't morally good things or morally good works. That's the overflow. When we have good works in our life, that's an overflow of what God has already done in our heart. The cost is connection and ridding yourself of everything that breaks that connection. In John 15, verse 5, it says, I'm the vine, and I'm sure you guys have heard this before, and you are the branches. If you remain, what? In me, right? And you, or if you, sorry, I messed that all up, remain in me, right? And I in you, you will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. Skipping down in verse 9, he says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So now remain in my love. So how do we remain in your love, Jesus? Oh, here, I got the next scripture for you. If you can keep my commands, you will remain in my love. And as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love, I have told you this so that you may, that my joy may be complete in you, that your joy may be complete. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. If you read this chapter, Jesus doesn't give any other commands except these two things. He is, in this chapter, he's talking about when the disciples came up to him, they said, Jesus, what, you know, explain to us the greatest commands. He says, love your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so as Jesus is talking about remaining in him, these words of loving God with everything you got. It's all about relation. It's all about relationship. And this whole his whole sermon is about being connected and centered around relationship. So why relationship? Because your relationships are only as strong as time spent with that person. Right? My best relationships I have are people that I spent some time with, that I went through some things with. They were right there. We went through them together. We faced the hard stuff. And those people are connected to me more than anyone else. There's a covenant between us. And when we give our lives to the Lord, how simple is this, right? How simple, but we all need to be reminded of it. And I bet people are sitting in there like, man, I need to spend more time with the Lord. Right? I'm the only one? Man. Because it's in the connection is where the transference happens. And that's where we keep the transference still. Because I believe that if you have something that interrupts this connection, what happens is that we could actually be separated from the will and the heart of the Father. And in John 15, it actually talks about if you're not connected to me, if you're not in relationship with me, you know what happens? You wither up. And I take that branch, and he says he throws it in the fire. You guys can interpret that for yourselves, but it doesn't sound good. And the thing is that people who settle for religion over relationships, the reason they do that is because it's so much easier to compartmentalize rules than to allow God to form your character. It's so easy to put on the mask and play the part than actually to become. You can spend time, if you spend time with Jesus, you cannot hide. And as you spend time with him, he forms you. He asks you about character things. And you could even paint a picture of you're some holy person, and a lot of people may believe it, and you may believe it too, and then you can get into the presence of God, and you realize, wow, I'm not as holy as I thought I was. Man, that thing that people said that they thought I was doing right, like I actually used that to manipulate people. Man, God, thank you. Thank you for showing me that, because I don't want to preach the gospel and at the end of the day disqualify myself. Listen, spend time with Jesus. So easy, right? So revolutionary. And the practical thing, if you guys don't know how to spend time with Jesus, here, I'm going to give you some easy practical things. You ready? Wake up earlier. Pray. Meditate on scripture. Here's one here I'll give you. Proverbs 3, wake up tomorrow early. read Proverbs 3 and just meditate on it. Think about it. And then I love to tell my guys this too. Get yourself a journal. I was already harassing some guys this morning. Get yourself a journal. Come to the Lord and be ready to listen and to hear from him. Man, I tell you what, if I had a meet up with somebody and they wanted advice from me and they brought a journal with them, right? I'll be, this guy's serious. He's ready to take notes. That's a shout out to Pastor Andrew. Hope you guys take notes. He loves notes. So connection. Connection is the heartbeat. If you aren't spending time with Jesus, you have no heartbeat. The allegiance in your heart is withering. Number two is this, is that am I aware of where I'm at? This is removing things that often get in the way of our connection. Healthy faith is recognizing that we're not as good as we'd like to admit. Man, repentance and confession are some of our greatest tools, our greatest weapons in the kingdom of God. Because what those do is they're exterminators of the disconnect. Man, God, this sin and this is festering into something. It's separating something. And then the Lord says in 1 John 1:9, if you would confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us from those sins and then purify us and then restore us to righteousness. Let me exterminate this, God. The thing that's pulling us away. One of the greatest, I love this prayer. One of the greatest prayers you can learn, Lord, expose me. Man, get into my closet and reveal the light on some of my darkness. And as you do, as you become, I'm not saying air your laundry out to everybody. I hope you're hearing me today. Some people love to do that. Please don't come up to me afterwards and do that to me. But you need to get with a trusted circle of fellow believers, right? You need to get with a one-on-one mentor, something where you're seen by somebody in a real way. If you're not seen, you know, tell you what, mold loves to grow in the dark. You got to expose the nastiness. Not throw it out there for everybody to see, but it needs to be exposed. One of the best things you could do, expose yourself. Repentance and confession are powerful tools for our faith, right? If we don't use confession and repentance in our life, what happens is we begin to elevate other things over God. And you know what that is? That's the definition of idolatry. We don't expose these things and we start trusting other things. And there's a Psalms 115. You could write that down too. That's actually probably in your notes on the Church Center app. But he sings this. What a beautiful song. You guys ready for this song? Why do the nations... I'm not going to sing it. Quiet her down in the front. Why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. But their idols are silver and gold made by human hands. Their mouths cannot speak or they can't. Their eyes cannot see. Their ears cannot hear, their noses cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. Nor do they utter the sound, nor can they utter sound from their throats. And it says this, those who make them will be like them. And those, and so will they trust him. Let me give you something, right? What we worship, we become like. And so if you don't see, before we can get to where we're going, we have to see where we're at, right? You guys have used the map before. We have to see where we're at. And if we refuse to repent and do those things, what happens is our heart grows cold, it grows disconnected, and then we fall into trusting other things. A lot of times it's trusting ourselves, it's controlling other things, and we just trust ourselves, right? Boom, boom. Then you're trying to think, then something happens where it's out of your hands, and then you look back and be like, God, where are you? You become blind, deaf, and dumb because it's all about what you do and what you say. And here, I'm going to control this and this. And then in the moment where you're like, oh, I can't control. God, where are you? And then you realize, oh, man, I feel so disconnected from the Lord. That's why so many people come back to church in the worst times of their life. They're in a panic. I get it. But we have repentance and confession, removing those things and staying connected. We have to be aware of where we're at. And to be honest, some of you have been so involved in idolatry. And I say it this way, you've been so involved in worshiping other things that you've actually created a stronghold. Now, a stronghold is this within, you know, the context of Christianity. It's this thing that prevents things from going in and out. And so you've been in this habit for so long that when God actually speaks to you, it doesn't actually penetrate because why? I have a mindset or something holding it back. And so as much as I say, hey, let's see where we are, some of you guys actually need some deliverance. We actually believe in deliverance here. God has to break the stronghold so you could be free, so you could be open. And we'll have prayer after this as well. And number three is this. Am I focused in the right direction? A healthy faith elevates eternity over current reality. And my theory is that Americans, they don't value eternity. Us as Americans don't value eternity very high because we are deficient in the lack. We have everything. We're obese in comfort. And this is why the gospel takes off like a wildfire when there's persecution. Why? Because there's something about the tension that begins to help us see like, oh man, life is broken. Let me look up. And so it begins to take off in some of the lowest impoverished communities. Why? Because there's something about lack that keeps us hungry for the eternity. And to be honest, some of us need some stuff taken away from us. Mom, am I the only one? We need some stuff removed out of our lives so we feel the pain of lack a little bit. You know what? That's what fasting is all about. Man, the Lord has been speaking to me about fasting, and I hate it. Because fasting is this. I'm going to remove something from me so I begin to focus in another area. I'm going to remove physical food to know that life is about spiritual food. And so, God, I'm going to put myself in a situation that where there's pain happening to me so I could, what? Focus on eternity. Hebrews chapter 11. This whole chapter is about faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 24, it was by faith Moses, when he grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He's removing some stuff. He chose to share this oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. Anybody willing to give up your large houses to go onto the mission field? Seems like this is what he did. That wasn't to condemn or, you know, try to make you guys go to the mission field. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to have his own treasure in Egypt. For he was looking ahead to this great reward. He was looking towards eternity, right? And so in faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, he kept on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It is by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle the blood, doing all that stuff. Jumping into verse 32, after it talks about all these different people that decided to give their lives because they realized that life is more than what's right in front of me. He says, the writer says this, how much more do I need to say? Probably not much, but let me go ahead and say some more stuff. It would not take too long to recount the stories of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the other prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, received what God had promised. They shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the flames of fire. They escaped death by the edge of the sword. In their weakness, God turned to strength. They became strong in the battle and put all the armies to flight. And then it goes on. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order that they be set free. And they placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Jumping all the way down to 39. And all of these people earned a good reputation for their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. Man. For God had something better in mind for them. That's hard for us to accept, right? God, you said this. All right, well, keep trusting me. Walk this way. You know, Abraham, he had a beautiful promise of, I'm going to give you sons and daughters that will outshine the stars in the heavens. You know, Abraham died with one son. Because this is what God is doing. He's saying, I am giving you a promise that's so grand that you won't even be able to, you'll only be able to see the fullness of it as you step into eternity. We have too many small things we're hoping for. And what faith does, a healthy faith, a faith that's not leaking, you know what it does? What it does is I need to stop focusing on current reality. Get reconnected to the one who helps me see into eternity. And I keep saying see in eternity, but eternity is actually no beginning and end. And you begin to see the Lord working in your life. So are that. Last one is this. Is your life centered around his ways? Healthy faith is in a constant state of centering every area of your life around God. Proverbs 3:5. All the kids know it in children's ministry. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him that he will make what your paths straight. First, let's break this down a little bit. Do not lean on your own understanding. Man, I'm tired of Chad's opinions. Is anybody tired of your own opinions? And the thing is that our culture would say this, is that we need to be more opinionated. Don't suppress your opinion. But they don't understand the kingdom that we live is actually a reversal kingdom. So instead of gaining things in our lives, we actually begin to lay those things down. To become elevated in the kingdom, you actually become low. To actually receive the kingdom of things in the kingdom, you actually have to give, right? There's this reversal that happens. To find our lives, we actually have to die. And it's like this constant state where it's like, I become more of Chad when I have less of me, which is a crazy concept. But when I have less of me and he begins to increase, and in the confines of what he thinks, I have this creative space to be the most me. And you don't really understand that because 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2 until you actually start to begin to apply it to your life, living in a way that says, you know what, God, I don't want my opinions anymore. I actually don't want to lean on my own understandings anymore, but I want to trust in your ways. And when we begin to trust in his ways, he actually takes crooked paths and he makes them straight. And I believe that the guy who's preaching that's writing in Proverbs is giving a nod to the people of Egypt, right? That says God told them, I'm bringing you into a promised land. And because their faith was so broken, they couldn't trust him. They began wandering for 40 years in this desert that should have probably only took them 3 months to get to. And so we're wondering, man, why am I on this windy road? Why does it seem like I never get anywhere? Well, stop leaning on your own opinions and your own understanding and begin to trust God and watch him make those paths straight. And so it's so important for us to not lean on our own understanding. And the next part is, in all your ways, acknowledge him. This word acknowledge, right? We put our American definition to it. It's not just like, hey, how you doing, God? It's a word that comes from Genesis 4, which I'm going to impress you guys. It's yada, or something like that. I could have just said it, and you guys would have believed me anyways. So it's yada in the Hebrew. And this word is when Adam knew Eve, and they conceived a child. He didn't say, what's up, Eve? And then all of a sudden, she's pregnant. Hey, Kate. It doesn't work like that, right? There is a deep, intimate knowing that happens. So when the writer in Proverbs is writing this, he says, acknowledge the Lord. Know him deeply. Know his ways intimately in all that you do, in every area of your life, in your fatherhood, in your husbandhood, in all of these areas, in your finances, in how you eat, and how you do whatever you want to do in life. In all those areas, become familiar with the Lord and how he would do it. So what? He would make our path straight. And so it's so important to not lean on our own understanding, to acknowledge him, to know him deeply and intimately, right? And this all has to be centered around Jesus. Can I have the band come up? I know it's a little earlier, but I want to take some time where we readjust some things. There's a beautiful song that I heard. Actually, it was at the prophetic training. Yeah, on Saturday morning, we just sat there and we just sang about Jesus. And just focused ourselves on Jesus. And there's just such a beautiful thing that happens when we begin to, like I said, what we worship, we become like. And there's things in our hearts and in our minds, in this faith structure, what ends up happening is that there is leaks that begin to happen. And some really nasty things come out of leaks, right? I keep thinking of a sprinkler system. And when you have a leak, right, the pressure is broken and none of the water gets to come up, or maybe some of it comes up, but then the one part becomes really dry, right? And then you start to realize, yeah, I trust God in this area, but over here, man, it looks terrible. Why does it look so bad over there? And then what happens is that could actually affect the whole. Jesus talks about yeast within the bread dough, right? The Pharisees who had these teachings, these things that we've allowed to be out of alignment with God, even though they may not affect right away, eventually they'll catch up. And I found that even in my life, some of the practices that I have, some of the weaknesses, you guys know I struggle with my weight, right? We begin to see, because that has been left untamed for so long, man, it's affecting my soul. Man, I think about it too much. It affects it so much, like I start, now it's leaking into my spirit. And then what happens is that if we don't address these areas, if we don't begin to trust Jesus, trust the Lord with these areas, that becomes the thing that permeates rather than the allegiance of our heart. So as we close today, if you guys want to stand up, I know you guys smell the barbecue chicken like me, so I felt inspired to. I just want to take a second, and we're going to close our eyes when we start singing this song, but it's a very simple song. And as we sing it, I want you just to mentally begin to confess to the Lord and begin to shift some things back to him. Ask him, God, would you reveal some of the things that I've allowed to go astray, that I haven't brought back into aligning them with you? And as we do, we want to refocus, right? We want to remind ourselves that our faith, right, needs to be rooted in allegiance to him. We need to have this renewed mind, and we need to make some system checks. We need to see where we're leaking. And so my homework for you guys is this, is that give yourself the exam. Be honest with yourself. And then schedule something. Some of us are in groups already. So share with your group. Man, gave myself the exam and I found out, man, this place is really broken. I'm really lacking here. And begin to share, right? Begin to do it in community so that we could actually begin to expose those things so we could walk out in a healthy way. So let's sing this song. And as we finish the song, I'll come back up. I'll invite the prayer teams up after the song, and we'll do some prayer. But let's sing together for a second.
know I want Jesus. Oh, I want Him. Oh, only Jesus. Take this world and give me Him.
You sing it again.
And oh, I want Jesus. Oh, I want Him. Oh, only Jesus. Take this world and give me Him. No more mixture. Give me the God of Scripture. No more idols or lesser loves. No substitute will ever do. There's nothing more I'll ever pursue. Sing, oh, I want Jesus. Oh, I want Him. Oh, only Jesus. Take this world and give me Him. I surrender until my heart grows tender. Here be my treasure, my greatest call. No substitute will ever do. There's nothing more I'll ever pursue. Oh, I want Jesus. Sing, this world and give me Him. We sing, oh, 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 I want Jesus. Let it be pure. Oh, oh, I want Him. Sing, oh, only Jesus. Take this world and give me. Isn't He enough? Isn't He enough? Jesus is everything, all that I'll ever need. Isn't He enough? Isn't He enough? Jesus, my King of Kings, You satisfy me. Isn't He enough? Oh, isn't He enough? Jesus is everything, all that I'll ever need. Isn't He enough? Isn't He enough? Jesus, my King of Kings, You satisfy me. Isn't He enough? Sing, isn't He enough? Isn't He enough? Jesus, my King of Kings, You satisfy me.
Come on, one last time, let's lift our hands to the Lord and just begin to say, just we just sung, Jesus, You're enough. You're enough, Lord. Forgive us, God. Forgive us, Father, for being off track and unfocused, God. Father, today we made an allegiance in our heart to once again come back on the track. Once again, Father, to begin to renew our minds. It's all about You, Jesus. Keep us focused. We thank You for Your presence. We We thank you, God, for what is what you said today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. You can join us in person on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. or online at the same times, including Saturday and Sunday at 6 p.m. Visit our website at kchanford.com. Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.